Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
The Pro Football Hall of Fame once quoted Nick Bonacani as saying, "There is no better schoolyard than football. It taught you how to win, how to lose, what adversity was, and how to play hurt. It taught you that winning comes with rewards." We'll talk about more about Nick Bonacani on his birthday for this December 15th, as well as some football history headlines that include an independent team that knocks off the world champs a week after they lock up the title. And, in another note, the Detroit Lions win a championship. We'll cover all this and more in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com and also a proud podcasting partner of the SportsHistoryNetwork.com, where you can find a lot of different podcasts on sports history that for your enjoyment, including this one. And this one is about the football history headlines for December 15th and some Hall of Fame birthdays. So let's get right to the headlines as we start off on December 15th, 1929, in Memphis, Tennessee. The National Football League champion Green Bay Packers, who sported an unblemished record of 12-0-1 in league play, held an exhibition game against the Memphis Tigers. A story on PackersHistory.net site explains that the Tigers were an independent team owned by the man who eventually started the Piggly Wiggly grocery chain, Clarence Saunders. Austin Applewhite, Bucky Moore, and Tiny Drulett all scored for the sole ownership Memphis team that shocked the world champions in a 20-6 upset. As for the NFL title, remember that there were no games to determine the champs of the NFL back then. It was strictly the team with the best record won the crown. And with no game gate, there was no revenue to pay the players for the accomplishment. So the Green Bay Press Gazette led a community fund drive to raise money for the players. In 1929, each player was given $220 plus a watch and the more than $5,000 that was raised. I would bet this is what yet another reason why after winning the title, the Pack would risk their reputation by going on a barnstorming tour to play an exhibition game. As far as a reputation, they had everything to lose and nothing to gain. But in the individual pockets of the players, they were just trying to scrape out a living. This next one's going to make Arnie Chapman, the football history dude, happy. December 15, 1935, the University of Detroit Stadium. The National Football League Championship game pitted the New York Football Giants against the Lions of Detroit. This was the third time that the league had a final game pitting the top two teams from each division to determine the title. The Lions jumped out to an early two-touchdown lead and never looked back as their defense frustrated the G-men for most of the game, according to the American Football Database. Four different Detroit Lions ran the ball across the goal line as the football men of the Motor City beat the New York Giants 26-7 to win the Lions' first championship title. December 15, 1946, at the Polo Grounds in New York City. The National Football League Championship had the Chicago Bears defeating the New York Giants 24-14 in front of a record crowd of 58,346. In an interesting bit of news that came out just before the kickoff, two players on the Giants were allegedly offered a bribe to throw the game by a person in the underworld. Vice.com covers the story well. Giants all-star halfback Frank Fuclock and Merle Hapes were under investigation by the commissioners Burt Bell of the NFL. Fuclock was allowed to play, but Bell suspended Hapes when he didn't report the bribe attempt to anyone in time. Speaking of the Giants, December 15, 1982, the New York Giants hired Bill Parcells as their new coach. Parcells was the 12th person in history to serve in that role for the franchise. December 15, 1997, the San Francisco 49ers franchise retired quarterback Joe Montana's number 16 jersey number from ever being worn by another player for the Niners. December 15, 2002, Southern Cal quarterback Carson Palmer won the voting for the 68th Heisman Trophy Award. According to Heisman.com, Palmer threw for 3,639 yards and 32 touchdowns as the Trojans finished 10-2 and earned a trip to the Orange Bowl. He really blossomed into an elite passer under the instruction of coordinator Norm Chow. December 15, 2008, the 74th Heisman Trophy Award went to Sam Bradford, the fantastic quarterback from the Oklahoma Sooners. According to Heisman.com, Sam's combined 53 touchdowns from the run and pass are tied with Oregon's Marcus Mariota for the most in Heisman history. Sam Bradford and his Sooners teammates were the highest scoring offense ever in NCAA history, passing for 4,464 yards and 48 touchdowns with just six interceptions was a monumental feat as Bradford again led the nation in passing and also added five touchdown rushing as the Sooners went 12-1 and qualified for the BCS national title game. As we take a quick break from the headlines, let me remind you that you can also learn more about the gridiron history on our website, pigskindispatch.com. And you can contact me, Darren Hayes, at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from someone, here is one of my podcasting partners from the sportshistorynetwork.com that has a message for you.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
December 15th, 2019, Oakland, California. The Raiders play their final NFL home game in Oakland before moving to Las Vegas. The John Gruden-led Raiders gave up 17 unanswered second-half points to fall at the hands of the visiting Jacksonville Jaguars 20-16. December 15th, 1938, at Natchez, Mississippi, we're going to talk about a birthday, and it's Billy Shaw, the standout guard from Georgia Tech, was born. Billy was an All-American selection in 1961 and was coveted by teams in both the NFL and the AFL in their respective drafts, according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame's website bio on Billy Shaw. The Dallas Cowboys picked him, but so did the AFL's Buffalo Bills, and Billy chose to go with the Bills so that he could concentrate on playing on the offensive line. Well, his decision was a great one, as he and the Bills won back-to-back AFL championship titles in 1964 and 1965. He was selected to the All-AFL team five times and played in eight All-Star games. At the enshrinement ceremony of 1999, Billy Shaw was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. December 15, 1940, Springfield, Massachusetts. The great linebacker from the University of Notre Dame, Nick Bonacani, was born. Nick was picked by the Patriots in the 13th round of the 1962 AFL draft. His bio on the Pro Football Hall of Fame website tells us how he made an immediate impact with the defense of the Patriots. In 1963 season, the Pats captured the Eastern Division of the AFL. The undersized linebacker that no NFL team dared to pick registered five interceptions in 1964, and in a game against the Bills in 1968, he picked off three passes alone to help achieve the total of 24 in his seven seasons with the Patriots. In 1969, he was traded to the Dolphins and helped that team eventually go undefeated and win the Super Bowl in 1972 and appear in three straight other NFL title games. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Nick Bonacani in the year 2001. We sure do hope we'll see you back here tomorrow on the Football History Headlines podcast as the Canton Bulldogs repeat as champs. Y.A. Tittle scores six touchdowns, and a team from Rhode Island takes home the NFL title. To make sure you get notified the second that next edition of the podcast is released, please put your mouse cursor over that subscribe button and press it. You can also find episodes of your favorite podcast provider and on the pigskindispatch.com. or thesportshistorynetwork.com, where you'll also find many other great nostalgic sports stories and interviews, podcasts, with all-star cast of podcast hosts and guests that share some of history's greatest sporting events. So make sure you check that out and join us tomorrow. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
It was just another ordinary day in the offices of the Pittsburgh Guardian newspaper circa 1924. But for Marla Delft, assistant editor, everything was about to change. For she was about to discover the awesome attractiveness of Row One brand retro sports paraphernalia items, thanks to Orville Mulligan, sports writer.
And there it is.
Wow, Orville, that's really the bee's knees.
Isn't it just? A poster-sized replica of the actual 1909 World Series program cover.
I can see that. But where did you get it? And where did you get it framed?
I ordered it from the Row One website, where over 6,000 items of sports memorabilia from the 1880s to the 1990s are available for reproduction in multiple sizes and in several different materials, with over a dozen styles of frame to choose from for prints like this.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Delft would love to put up more of these in the office. But I'm equally as sure they're beyond this newspaper's budget.
Not at all, my dear Marla. See for yourself. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com/row1.
sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. Oh my, these are good prices. Oh, and look at this stuff. Oklahoma-Nebraska football. College basketball art. Michael Jordan items.
And so it was that Marla Delft discovered the splendiferous magic of Row One sports memorabilia arts and prints. You can too by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. That's ROW number one today for access to the full Row One catalog of gallery prints and gifts like t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, telephone cases, coffee mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Act today for a 15% discount off all prints with coupon code SHN15 and 20% off all other items with coupon code SHN20 at checkout. And keep your dial locked to the Sports History Network for the exciting chronicles of the 1920 sports world in Orville Mulligan, sports writer, coming soon.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcast, is found right here on the Sports History Network.